impact.
Starting chapter 15, verse 11, to chapter 16, verse 5. On a later occasion, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord, so that we can see how the brothers are doing." Barnabas suggested taking John Mark, but Paul was not in favour of taking along the very man who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had refused to share in their work. After a violent quarrel, they parted company, and Barnabas sailed off with Mark to Cyprus. Before Paul left, he chose Silas to accompany him, and was commended by the brothers to the grace of God. He travelled through Syria and Cilicia, consolidating the churches. From there he went to Derbe and then on to Lystra. Here there was a disciple called Timothy, whose mother was a Jewess, who had become a believer, but his father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of Timothy, and Paul, who wanted to have him as a travelling companion, had him circumcised. This was on account of the Jews in the locality, where everyone knew his father was a Greek. As they visited one town after another, they passed on the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem, with instructions to respect them. So the churches grew strong in the faith, as well as growing daily in numbers.
Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to, so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there, we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my home." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. And thank you very much, both of you, for reading. Now, perhaps if I have the first slide up, Shirley, please. I know we've got some steam train enthusiasts here, so I thought I would indulge you with this first slide. I'm afraid I don't know exactly what the loco number is, or you know, you can tell me all about it if you know after the first. Okay, there we go. So built in Brighton, a Sussex connection. Very good. Jonathan's obviously been studying this. So, kids, on a train, not so much these days, you might get a guard, or they're probably called something different now, aren't they? Like a customer services executive or something. So you might get a guard or a steward or somebody like that, a conductor type person, maybe on the train or on the platform. And when the train gets to its final destination, they might go around shouting something. What would that be, kids? They want everybody to get off the train. No, you see, these things don't happen to Nazis, do they? They're not used to lots of train journeys. What adults, what would they have? All trains. Well done, well done. There we go. All trains. And I've chosen that as our heading today because in our passage we're going to see a number of things which change. But of course God doesn't change. His powerful gospel mission remains unchanged. Lots of things change in life, don't they? Life is really completely uncertain if we think about it. So much has changed at the moment, hasn't it, with COVID. So it's an encouragement to us to know that God and his love, his power, his care for us, they don't change. God is always a rock, a shield for his people. We can depend on him completely. All change, but God and his powerful gospel mission are unchanged. Now, we've been studying the book of Acts for absolutely ages, the grown-ups and kids. I think it's only right that we should embarrass the grown-ups by trying to get them to say what the unchanged big picture of the book of Acts is. So who can tell me the main thrust of the book of Acts, the big idea? A chance to show off in church and to our millions of online viewers. Can anyone tell me? Ennis surely knows something about the book of Acts. Okay, one thing is, do you remember that little jingle we stole from Glenn Sidler? You can't stop, you can't stop, you can't stop the mission of God. Yeah? That's an earworm that we've got stuck in our head. God's unstoppable mission. There are all sorts of problems and obstacles out there. Lots of opposition and persecution, but God's mission is unstoppable. That's certainly one of the headlines of the book of Acts. And there's a geographical program set out in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Who can remember that? Very good. Yes, Jesus said to his disciples, thank you very much, Steve. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the program of the book of Acts is the good news about Jesus going to all the nations. It ends up at Rome, which you might call the centre of the known world in those days. That's a big picture. And do you know the full title of this book, kids? The Acts of the Apostles. Well done. So they're the special authorised representatives sent out by Jesus to spread his word. But we've also said that the book of Acts is not just the Acts of the Apostles. What might we say it is really? Who acts? The Acts of the Holy Spirit, maybe, sometimes been called that, hasn't it? But Paul is certainly key, yes? Yeah? So there's a focus in the first half of the book of Acts on Peter, a focus in the second half of the book of Acts on the Apostle Paul, so those two apostles. But Luke describes his former book, Luke's Gospel, about what I wrote about what Jesus began to do and to teach. So the implication is that Acts is about what Jesus continued to do and to teach, yeah? Not only to the apostles, mainly to the apostles perhaps, but also to other Christians and to the wider church too. So the book of Acts is what Jesus continues to do by his Holy Spirit through his people to get the good news of Jesus out to the nations. That was all the vision grown up, okay? So let's look at some of the changes, although that big picture is unchanged, let's look at some of the changes in our passage which we just read. So, next one, please. You'll notice that the mission teams change. And that's perhaps a rather delicate way of putting it, really, because there seems to be an enormous bust-up. Do you remember it said that there was a sharp disagreement? I think Robert had a slightly different translation, didn't he? All about whether they should take John Mark with them or not. So John Mark had joined with them at the very end of chapter 12, and just 13 verses later, he'd given up and gone back to Jerusalem. We don't really know why, not really explained, and Luke doesn't really go into all the ins and outs of the debate. Paul thought it was unwise to take John Mark with them again because he deserted them. He seemed to have abandoned their mission. We don't know whether he had a good reason for doing that or not. perhaps he got scared. We don't know whether there's any doctrinal or theological disagreement. Did he have cold feet about the Gentile mission or something? We just don't know. But Paul and Barnabas disagreed, and they decided to part company and go their separate ways. It's rather sad, isn't it? Here are these well-known, experienced, mature, Bible-believing, eminent Christians, and they couldn't agree. A bit sad. Can't really say who was right and who was wrong, necessarily. Paul thought it would be bad for the mission. Barnabas thought at this stage they should give John Mark a second chance. And it seems later on that Paul was reconciled both with Barnabas and with John Mark, so who's to say? We could discuss afterwards outside at a social distance in groups of no more than six who we think was right and what exactly was going on there. But there was a bust-up. This is a warts and all account of early Christianity. Luke doesn't tell us absolutely everything that happened, but he tells us about a fair share of the problems of the church. There are no perfect churches, are there? There's that old gag that if you find a perfect church, you shouldn't join it because you'd only spoil it. And the early church had its problems too. But God seems to love to bring good out of evil. And this sad disagreement, in fact, leads to a new mission team, two mission teams where there had been one. Let's just have the next slide. You can see how they divided up and went to different places. God loves to bring good out of bad. Maybe he might bring good things even out of the coronavirus situation and all the strange changes we're living through at the moment. That's certainly the great big picture of the Bible, isn't it? Death and then resurrection. God is powerfully in control even when bad and sinful and horrible things happen. God can bring good out of bad. He can use it to multiply mission. Well, next slide. Here's another change. Timothy has to change, is willing to change for the sake of mission. He's willing to get circumcised. We'll discuss that maybe at home later, children. There's quite a significant change for the grown-up Timothy. And you might think, well, surely Paul has been totally inconsistent here. In his letters, he seems to be very much against circumcision sometimes. And in the very last chapter, which we studied last week, Paul has been arguing that circumcision isn't necessary to be saved. You don't have to live like an ancient Israelite and keep the law of Moses to get to heaven, he says. It'd be a disaster if we added to the grace of God in Christ circumcision and keeping the law of Moses as if that was a requirement for salvation. So has Paul been completely inconsistent here? Well, no. This is the same thing we saw last week. Clear on the principle of the gospel, but a practical policy which is kind and caring. Paul is saying, let's be willing to change for the mission of God. Let's be adaptable for the sake of evangelism. Think of the Jews that we'll be ministering to. Wouldn't it be better, Timothy, if you got circumcised so you'd be more acceptable to them? There's a change that you could make. He's unwilling to change the gospel, but he's willing to change for the gospel. And that was Paul's policy not only for Timothy, but for himself. Remember in his letter to the Corinthians, he said, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. Even though I myself as a Jewish person wasn't under the law of Moses anymore, so as to win those under the law. That's something for us to reflect on, isn't it? How can we be unflexible on the gospel, but also flexible for the sake of mission? How we take other people into account, how we serve them, how we don't please ourselves, but are willing to inconvenience ourselves for the sake of others and for the sake of the gospel. So a change to the mission team, a change for Timothy. Next change is to the plans as God directs his mission. Now there are intriguing phrases here, aren't there, about how the Holy Spirit prevented them and the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't let them preach in a certain region. And we don't know exactly how. Luke doesn't spell out how the details of this guidance took place, maybe through visions or prophecies or just these circumstances, we really don't know. But we do know that there was this vision of a man of Macedonia calling them to come over and help. So you can see on the map where they begin to go, in fact, is the gospel going to Europe? We could say a change of geographical location. The scholars debate how significant they would have thought that change was in the ancient world from Asia to Europe. But it's a big deal for us, isn't it? Because, of course, we're Europeans. The good news is Jesus has come to us. God was directing his mission. So a reminder to us that God is in charge. It's God's mission. Certainly, human plans are good and necessary, but sometimes God overrides them by circumstances. He's in control. In fact, he's promised to build his church. What an encouragement that it's not all just down to us. And our final change, again, shows us the power of God. Let's have the next slide up too, because God is able to change Lydia's heart. He opens her heart to receive the good news of Jesus as Paul preaches it. And the Bible tells us that that's always what happens when someone becomes a Christian. It's a miracle. It's a gift of grace. It's new life. Life for the spiritually dead. We need to be praying for our families and friends who are not yet believers, that God would open their hearts and minds and spirits to respond to the gospel. Lydia is changed forever, and she demonstrates that change of heart by her gospel generosity. She invites Paul and Barnabas to come and stay with her. Perhaps a church begins to meet in her house. She seems to be a person of some means, and she seems to be willing to put that means at the disposal of the gospel. So let's have the last slide up. All change then. Has God changed your heart? Let's say that he opens our heart to his word, that when we read the Bible, his spirit might be at work to change us. How is that change going to be shown in our lives? How will we be different because of hearing God's word today? Are we like Timothy and Paul, willing to change for the sake of the gospel? Not wanting to change the gospel, but wanting to change the way we do things, maybe, be flexible, adaptable, kind, generous, put ourselves out for the sake of mission and for others. Maybe even if their concerns are wrong-headed and ill-founded, completely unnecessary, really, for Timothy to be circumcised, but he was willing to do so. Many things change. Lots of changes are out of our hands. Perhaps it was very frustrating for Paul that his mission team changed, that his plans kept being changed. And sometimes we can find change hard. But it's an encouragement to us that God, his love and power and gospel don't change. His mission doesn't change. He needs to continue using his people to get the good news of Jesus out in the power of the Spirit to all the nations. So that on the great final day, there'll be an innumerable company from every tribe and people and land and nation that no one can count, all trusting Jesus and praising him. That's the big picture of God's mission and of history. God directs his unstoppable mission, and he can bring good even out of bad. Well, let's just be quiet for a moment, and let's pray. Our great unchanging God, our God of love and power, we thank you for the good news of Jesus, for your grace. Thank you that you don't change. And to all the many changes of life, to our frustrations and difficulties and falling outs and problems, we pray that your will and power would prevail. Make us adaptable and willing to change and serve. Give us generous hearts, transformed by the gospel, we pray. We pray for our families and friends who are not yet believers, that you might change their hearts, open their minds and spirits and eyes to the good news of Jesus, we pray. For his name's sake. Amen.